March 14, or 6:37, and 7:38. They see Cain and found him Satan, and said to Peter, Simon, are you Satan? Could you not watch thy hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Good morning. So I want to see you here this morning, each one, and welcome to those who are online. I feel like if the ocean were a big cell of blessing, that you would get hit by this morning. What a wonderful time to be had in God's house. Thanks and glory to Him. But we have a God of sleep, and we are supposed to be all awake. Perhaps just dozed off for a few moments and shut eyes. But I'm not talking about a well-placed nap, the kind of time and bed you should get, really. The time where you should be awake, but you're fast asleep. Just to know that the result of this can be catastrophic. But I believe that we can all relate to this experience on occasion or two, at least. According to a parable spoken by Jesus, there will come a time in the last day when all of the sinners will be seated. God's entire church will be asleep, sound asleep. Please turn your Bible to Matthew 25 and have a look at verses 1 and 5. Certainly, you're familiar with this story already. Here in verse 1, Jesus informs us that the kingdom of heaven is like a group of bridesmaids who are waiting for the bridegroom. In biblical terminology, the kingdom of heaven, praise, is used quite often to describe God's own people. You will notice that in verse 5 that all of God's end-time church members have fallen asleep. Caught out. Caught out. The members have failed. The only part of the that all of God's lost to sleep. This few translations think that all new drowsy can fall asleep. Turns out that these types are a description of God's end-time church just before Jesus is set to return. To pick them up. Now, synonyms for asleep or sleeping are these: slumbering, napping, latent, undeveloped, or inactive. You know, this sleepiness factor down through history has been quite a stumbling block for God's people. In other words, we're not the only ones who have this experience. This morning, let's take a brief look at what Jesus said himself would be the antidote to this problem. Please turn your Bible to Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 38. Here you will find a particular incident that sleepiness came as a remedy for it as well. Reading now from the New Living Translation, when they came to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go on pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be filled with horror and deep distress. He told his disciples, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." Then he went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground. He said that if it was possible, the awful hour awaiting them might pass by. "Father, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me." Yet, I have told you, and I know. Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. Though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." Now, we will understand a little better what is happening here if we review the context of this study. What was it that prompted Jesus to give Peter this timely remedy for sleepiness. Watch and pray. These words were spoken by our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane during what was the very darkest hour of his earthly ministry. We are associated with this extreme agony as we contemplate what is going to happen to him over the next several hours. At this point, only Christ knew how crucial it was for his disciples to be alert and to be praying. He knew the confusion and the fear that was soon carried his followers. A few moments before he had informed Peter of what Peter was going to do as he was confronted with the evidence of their friendship. He did know so well his disciples, his church members, and his saints would need to have a remedy for the challenges they were about to encounter. Devote a little time this morning considering the contents of this narrative. After all, it wasn't easy to say, watch and pray. First, this word temptation has come to be associated with almost entirely that which is evil. We seldom, or rarely, speak of tempting a person to do what is good. I would say we're all too familiar with the certainty of temptation. I think we understand that Satan tempts us to be especially weak. For example, he knows full well that I'm not tempted to go to school on my own. To tell you the point, do you know of anything that is better than a slice of bread or an apple pie, soft with some whipped cream? Yes. It's a second piece of pie, chocolate ice cream, don't you know? Perhaps you would add a similar attraction. Some people fall for virtues and money. It seems to me a little heated to start with. John records his difficulties in John 12, verses 4 to 6. Jesus was a guest in the home of some of his close friends. Mary took a sizable amount of a very precious perfume and began to anoint the feet of Jesus with it. All the while she was using her hair to spread it about. Told him now, that Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who betrayed him, said, "That perfume was one of the small horses. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not to be cared for the poor. He was a thief in charge of the disciples' funds and he often took some for his own use. Sadly, we do know the rest of that story. Others are weak in the department of morality, such as the chief of King Solomon. The small man was a predicament. Jeremiah 13:26, he found that there was no king in any nation who could compare to him, and God loved him and made him king over all of Israel. But even he was led into sin and was fallen by it. I think you understand what Satan tempts us when and where we least expect it. I'm certain that we've been all caught off guard at one time or another. This is a challenge that Peter was prepared for as Jesus had forewarned him. The astonishing results that Peter came up with in the view that he lived in Mark 14:7-2. Gratefully, Peter eventually learned the intended lesson. He later informed us in 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to deliver a godly accusation." And that's what we're thankful for. The fact is that this is how many of us suffer defeat at the storm that we are in. When we are ill prepared, we are simply caught off guard. Overwhelming surprise is overpowering temptation. We've all been there. And I suspect that we're all clearly aware that Satan will attempt to use anything and anybody to get us off track. Even good things and good people, he will attempt to use. Now, what about this watchfulness factor? what is the implication of this admonition that has been given to us by God Himself through the Lord? Well, as a matter of fact, there's no other command which has received any greater emphasis than Jesus. This is the narrative in Luke 16, 25 to 40. He's left the service and well prepared, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. There will be special favor for those who are ready and waiting for their return. This subject does seem to be of particular interest to Luke, as we read further in chapter 21, 34, and 36. People walk by themselves, lest at any time your mind becomes clouded and self-indulgent, and it will impose upon you like a cloud. Watch therefore and pray accordingly. The teaching wants us to be awake, alert, and always keenly aware of our surroundings. It means that we guard ourselves against the various dangers with which we are affected. A major component of watching means that we learn God's method of operation through diligent Bible study. And this is to know ourselves in order to find out what our natural tendencies and learn of our weaknesses. Then we have the ability to ask for the divine help and grace. Strengthen those weak points against the fault of the enemy. Jesus himself is along the church members who started Jesus in Revelation 3 verse 2. Now what is that? Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is at the point of death. The loss is to avoid those very specific tasks that have been set in particular for you. As you become aware of our weaknesses and your specific areas, you ought to avoid them. In this way, you will not be subjected to the attack of man. In 3, you fall, you also move to do this. We tell somebody to how this works when we are talking. First, admit yourself as such a God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Paul considers you as a right to the point, as we know in Ephesians 4, 25 and 27. So, put away that falsehood, and tell one another the truth, that we are all related to one another in Christ. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty quibble to the devil. Now, there are some conditions that we must meet for our success in walking. First, we must develop the practice of living or the discipline of abiding in the presence of the Lord. In John 15, verse 1 to 11, Jesus likened this relationship as the vine branch to the branches. In verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." The result of this will not only be the bearing of much fruit, in verse 5, but as well that your glory may be full, as we see in verse 11. These are the summary to collective blessings that may be ours and may be abide in the Him. Next, we have the privilege of occupying ourselves in His service. People that are busy in the work of the Lord are believed people who serve another master. As a mother, David used to say, "All the homes that we get are good for you. You don't need all the lessons to you." He complained of Nehemiah's consistent message there in Nehemiah 6:2-4. Here's what he said, "When I realized that they were plotting against me, I replied to them by sending this message, 'I'm doing a great work here, and I can't stop to come and meet with you.' 4 times," he said, "they sent me the same message. 3 times I sent them to the God. I tell Isaiah, the spirit of the Lord that he appointed, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on me, because he trusted in me. What a beautiful promise of God. And trust that you have claimed this promise of your very own. Second poem. Prayer hits us immediately to the fountain of our soul. This commander has never fully lost the battle. As a matter of fact, you're always in the world. And I wish to read the encounter of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. So a great example of this is of what the Lord will do for his people when they suddenly find themselves in a tight spot. And I know that you've been there. Paul lays it out very clearly when he writes in Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's right. Then, with the confidence along the solid relationship with Jesus Christ can bring, we stand in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's right. I trust that you have taken the opportunity to send this promise on the way of the Jesus of your life. Third point. The influence of prayer in our lives allows out the sin that attempts to occupy our hearts. Know what happened to the countenance of Moses on Mount Sinai as he spent time teaching with God. Verse 29 and 47, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with a huge tablet of testimony in his hand. He didn't realize that his face was glowing as he was speaking to Aaron and the children of Israel. Moses had just spent nearly 6 weeks in close association with God on the mountain, with his physical appearance was softened to Aaron and the valley below. Remember, Aaron was the one who just got over there with the children of Israel. That contrast occurs when we see an engaging dialogue with our God. That's from finding our prayers to God by the military ordeal that faith and experience will need. Such an important point that we enlist the aid of our Heavenly Father. Even the weakest of all saints counted among the mighty in the divine name. Lost and saved, lest you enter into temptation, the Spirit is true, the one that possesses is the one. The CA Bible commentary is one of the reference here to the Spirit, which is the higher power of the mind. In contrast, the reference to the flesh, those natural tendencies and desires that are identified by New Testament writers as the lower unity of man. These are represented by the various appetites of the So this morning, let us remember the admonition of our Lord Peter. I'm certain that this message to Peter is also a message for us. I think it is intended for us. In this life, we are encompassed with so many infirmities and their associated temptations. There are so many distortions, distractions, and deceptions by which we are tempted. As such, we need to heed the words of our Lord and put up our guard against Satan. Prayer is a major safety measure in this regard. The walking of prayer is a necessity if we are to be victorious in all conflicts with the evil one. To neglect or disregard our daily loss and Bible study prayer is to expose ourselves unnecessarily to temptation and potentially to small wounds. Last time you may recall that our morning devotions were called the morning walk. Anybody remember that? The morning walk. And that's a good reason. It was identified by that name. Bible study and prayer. One of the astonishing gifts it is to have the ability to communicate the desires of our hearts to Heavenly Father received a nothing to make it. Quite often, then, we will receive a reply, and we say the scriptures, that's the moment, and we will have it. We will be ready with our faith, our gratitude, and our thanksgiving. The faith in that is any time for faith with you, and none of ours. Jesus used a short story as a method of giving his disciples a summary of his final thoughts to them on the cross. Mark 13:32-37, he relates, "The coming of the Son of Man shall be compared with a man who has left his home to go on a trip." He gave each one of these employees instructions about the work that they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. For we do not know when the homeowner will return, at evening, at midnight, at early dawn, or late daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when you arrive without warning. And by sleeping, you will see the others. And that is the king. And therefore, the Lord will have a new covenant. We do thank you, Father, for the wonderful things that you send over us. You take us home and you give us a promise of marching them through the morning, being there with friends and family and with you. Thank you for taking care of us in the interim and blessing us with your word. Blessing us with the mechanism of communication through prayer without a soul. We pray that we will not be lost in using what you have given to us, time and talent. Father, guide us and guard us this week. Keep us from the evil one who tears us from the anger away from us. Ground us with your anger and your spirit. For we are asked in Christ's name. Amen.